Hello, George Hallford, back, Local Matters. Stories about people in the upper Cumberland, primarily Cookeville, Putnam County, and our towns who contribute to the fabric. We have this wonderful community that we know a little bit about people, but we don't know enough. And I have got one of the top storytellers that I've ever met, and good new best friend, David Storm, who is retired from David Storm Associates. And wow, get ready, folks, because I'm going to do something rare. I'm going to listen to David Storm tell stories and tell about who he is. So, David, welcome.
Thank you, George, and thanks for having me.
Man, I'm great. So here's the only rule, not rules, besides me listening, which is a tough rule. We're going to start at birth. It's Billy Graham. Remember in his Billy Graham Crusades, he'd say the three great questions in life, which they are, and all religions, is who am I, where did I come from, where am I going? And I ask you, when you get it back there and get carried away, don't spend a lot of time in high school, but it's okay. We're going to go. So you're on, buddy. This is your life.
All right. Well, let me just start off by saying most people know me as the Yankee Cajun Hillbilly. I was born in Huntington, New York.
Okay, I didn't know that. I knew.
My father worked in the big city and raised eight kids out there on Long Island.
Wow. Okay.
At 3 years old, I moved south down to West Monroe, Louisiana.
Okay.
And stayed there till maybe 36, 37 years ago where God sent me up to Cookeville, Tennessee.
Wow.
And a lot of people asked me how I got here. I thought I was in Crossville for 2 days, for real. And that's a funny story.
Well, you came to the right place, my friend. God sent you to the right place.
I can go anywhere on this planet, and I can hardly wait to get back to Cookeville, Tennessee.
Amen.
Just love it. We have so much around here to be thankful for. So that's why they call me the Yankee Cajun Hillbilly. And growing up, I was a little altar boy.
Yeah, you were Catholic, weren't you?
A little Catholic altar boy.
Yeah.
I was an altar boy till almost I got married, believe it or not. I was an altar man. We went from Latin to English when we said Mass, so that's way back when. But growing up, I had all kind of friends, Pentecostal friends I went to church with, Baptist friends I went to church with. We never really thought about the name on a church. We were just all buddies.
We were all washed in the blood.
That's right. And we all ran in the woods together and camped out together and had just a fantastic mom and dad. I give all the credit to my mother and father for my success. I really do, because they taught me manners and raised in a big family. There were eight children in my family.
What birth order are you in the family?
I'm number seven. Not a lot of number sevens out there. I'm a number seven.
Well, Catholics, Baptists, same thing. I'm the oldest of five, so I get it a little bit. But I always tell people, and see here I'm talking already, that my dad and mother took seriously be fruitful and multiply. And they went out there, and Catholics are really good at that.
George, I remember in high school, my civics teacher was telling me that the Catholics had this thing they believed in called the rhythm method. And I'll never forget looking at him and saying,
"So what's that?"
I told him, I said, "Well, my dad must have good rhythm because there's eight of us."
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So you sound like you had a great childhood. You had friends and family and, you know, the Waltons kind of thing.
Definitely.
In the north. So, in a city. Yep.
Hunting with my younger brother in the swamp almost every weekend. Hunting and fishing was a big part of my life growing up. And, of course, I had four big brothers. One of them in particularly took us under his wing hunting and fishing all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Dad was a traveling salesman. And later on in life, well, I say later on, about when I was 8 years old, I started going to conventions with him.
Wow, that's great experience and exposure and father-son thing. Yeah.
Yep, and of course, my first thing I wanted was a mini bike. And it took me long enough to save up for that mini bike. I had enough money for a Honda 90. So I got my first job at 8, but it was 10 years old when I got my first motorcycle.
I understand. I'm here with David Storm. We're just getting started. George Hofford, David Storm, and this is his life. So, David, let's go back. Anything else going through high school? How'd you meet your wife, for instance?
Ooh.
Well, when did you meet her?
I didn't meet her till after high school.
Okay.
During high school, I couldn't hardly date any of the girls at my high school. West Monroe High School at that time was around 3,200 students. It was the largest largest high school in Louisiana. But seriously, I did have date some girls from there. But most of my girlfriends were from other schools. And my beautiful wife, Kay, she was from across the river.
Across the river.
She went to Ouachita High School.
Okay.
And I met her after I graduated.
Okay.
Believe it or not, at a disco club.
No. Yeah, I understand. And, disco. I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Those were the days. But I knew she was the right one when the fireworks went off, and they're still going off today, George. So
I really
got blessed. I think we've been married now 45, 46 years. Sorry, honey, if you're listening.
No, I did that for your benefit. You know, you got to mention what's important. How about children?
Oh, two beautiful girls.
Okay.
Melissa and Melanie.
Okay.
Melanie lives out in Wichita right now with my two grandsons and her husband.
Oh, man.
She really got blessed with her catch. And Melissa married a local fella,
yeah,
by the name of Luke Allen, who's a fine son-in-law.
Luke,
too.
Oh, I know. Oh, man. Yeah.
Did you know Luke
real well. Yeah.
You did not know that was my son-in-law?
I did not. David Allen, Bob Allen.
Please don't.
The Allen boys. I won't tell him.
They're all there. It's a good, good family.
A
we
great
got
family.
Blessed. We got blessed him coming in our family and us going into his family.
Oh, man, that is great.
And Melissa, my daughter's such a special thing in my life.
Oh, man.
When they were young, we lived out in the country. So I would travel during the week, and when I'd come home, it was, you know, girl night with my girls every Friday night.
Oh, man.
Those were probably some of the funnest times of my whole life. Whereas spending time with my two girls.
Oh, man, what a rich you've had and are having the good life,
brother,
the great life.
I look back on that trail, and somebody's been holding my hand, walking me down that whole trail. I look back every day and
Amen.
Just thankful for all the things that I've got to experience, and hopefully moving forward, I'm going to stay on that trail and see a bunch more good stuff.
Man, that is so great, David. I've got like you, friends from all different Christian faiths and others. So, tell me about your conversion, but you were Catholic, great, you know, Christian folks, and then you moved to your life church when I met you. But tell me about your your change, transition.
Yes, it was simply a change. It wasn't a conversion.
No, not a conversion.
I'm still a Knights of Columbus, have my Knights of Columbus card, and I'm Catholic. I will always be Catholic, but Life Church is my home. I just love it there. I love the people there. And like growing up, the name of a church never meant anything to me.
It's
the people that's in the church that make the church. That's right.
It's
all about the guy upstairs. But my conversion was my daughter Melissa. I wanted to just go to church with her one Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was sitting there, and the pastor was preaching, that being Pastor Bobby.
Bobby Davis. Yeah.
And I saw her laughing. And when I saw her laughing in church, I said, this is the way it's supposed to be.
That's it.
You know, and, you know, being Catholic, we're a little more quiet.
Yeah,
and
it's a great
yes.
folks, so gosh, yeah. great traditions. And
yes, it's all good. They're all good.
Yeah, no question.
All of it's good. But my daughter, Melissa, was the reason for my visiting out there and still going there. I just fell in love with it.
That is a great story. See, I didn't know that. So how many years have you been going there now? Long time.
Oh, Lordy.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, 7, 8, 9.
I slipped one in on you there.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay. I first met you, obviously, with Kevin Bowling's Ebenezer Acres and the men's group on Friday morning. What a blessing. You're a leader. And we want to invite people to attend. It's a men's group. It's okay, but it's not co-ed, but we have a great group of very dedicated people of all ages, don't we?
I'll tell you what, George, the first time I went there, and there was 20, 30 men there, and they all held hands and went around a big circle and prayed. I tell you what, that was so spiritual to me. And I've known Kevin, oh, Lordy, 25-plus years.
Great
individual. I just love him. I can't tell you how much I love that guy. But he is so solid. So I'm just a proud part of his function.
You're just a happy camper, buddy. You really are. And your business, you've retired. We want to talk a little bit about that, and we're getting through it with a segment now in several seconds. We'll come back and talk about that. But you're retired, and you were in the nursing home supply support.
Capital equipment.
Capital equipment.
Yes.
And you did it all over. I mean, you've been a big-time small business player in this thing. If that is an oxymoron, but you were sharing with me off air. But that's where you've been. That's what your dad did. So you've got a heritage and certainly a life family that's been doing this. So how long have you been retired?
I retired last October.
I must have missed that.
Not long ago. I'm just getting used to it.
Yeah. George Hallford, David Storm, we'll be right back. George Hallford back with David Storm. Boy, life flies when you're having fun, buddy. I knew this thing is going to roll, and we're just getting started. So let's pick up where we left off in that first segment. And you were talking about your business. You were talking about how you got here. And you retired less than a year ago. And first, how is that going?
Retirement is kind of shocking.
It is, isn't it?
Because you're used to getting up every day and working. And I was in a situation with my business where I had to be available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
No question.
With the fire and safety products that we sold to nursing homes. They had to always be working. But
talk about, as part of that, I ask you the retirement question, but also talk about your business and supporting the nursing homes, and what changes have you seen, and how are we doing in the nursing home bit? Because we're all going there, but I'm not going somewhere like that. So
I got a good buddy in a nursing home right now, and to show my age, I was walking down the hall to his room. He was at the end of a hall, and I saw four names that I knew. So,
a lot of us
are going to go there. And when I was younger, I'd go, oh, Lordy, I don't want to have to go here. This is when I was younger.
No question.
But the nursing homes were different then. They're so much different now.
That's right.
Much nicer. The heart has always been there with the employees and the people that work there. Don't get me wrong. But the buildings are much more prettier. You know, I used to go in them, they were cinder block walls.
They're more welcoming.
They're more institutional. Now they're more homey.
That's right.
But I'm just really proud. When I left Louisiana, I was selling Whirlpool bathtubs, and I was so proud. I had sold every single nursing home in Louisiana a Century bathtub.
Oh.
I mean, that's just a little thing.
That didn't surprise me. But
in my heart, that
I was
felt
big.
So good about that. And I felt good about cleaning people, keeping people clean.
That's great.
And keeping the equipment clean that they got cleaned in.
That's right.
So anyway, we came up here and time goes on. And new things always come out. Then we got into a lifting program that was super successful. It seemed to always have the right timing in my business to be here.
Oh, it's a providential thing.
Yes. So we had a back injury prevention program where we would not allow any of the staff in a nursing home to do any lifting.
Yes, and that's where a lot of the injuries are.
That's where 90% of the injuries came from, was from lifting. So we took away the lifting, And these nursing homes were paying $200,000 and $300,000 a year for workers' comp. Well, the current workers' comp rates went down so much, they were paying for, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 worth of lifts in 1 year.
Wow.
And then saving that much money every other year. I mean,
major breakthrough.
Oh, it saved millions and millions and millions of dollars. But we did so good with that program, myself and two sales guys. We had sold more lifts in Tennessee and Kentucky than the whole rest of the United States combined. That's another little thing I was really, really proud of in my working career.
That doesn't surprise me about you, David. Wow. So you've retired. Let's talk about today, now. Let's talk about things you're involved in, what you care about, where you are, and just whatever you want to share.
Well, right now I think I'm just really trying to feel what it feels like to get up and not have to go to work.
Yeah, let's go back to that retirement thing, because I've gone through that, still going through it. If you love what you do and you love who you do it with and you love where you're doing it, you've always heard that it's not a job. And it sounds like you have had a passion, and one day time ran out. It was time to retire. Talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about your retirement.
The guy that bought my company is a super, super guy who I love dearly, and he allowed me to stay on for a couple years as a consultant.
Okay. I met you, you were a consultant in that period of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
But anyway, so I still get a call every once in a while. I still get to go to conventions and see the people I've dealt with for the last 30 years.
You're not going to quit networking.
Oh, no. And then I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what I want to do. I know I have one day, always one morning, that I've got a job, and that's cooking eggs. That's probably one of my favorite jobs I've ever had.
You know, George Hoffer with David Storm. I'm learning a lot, and we're going to learn some more. And David, let's go back to that. It was for anyone that wants to talk retirement. I've been there, and I'm there, and you are there, and so it's no matter how you approach it, it's so much different and challenging and great and all that wrapped into one than I thought.
Yes, it is. I would say. The biggest thing about retirement and in my life is that I've always really loved people, all people.
Yes,
same here. Be colorblind, be...
just people.
Yes, every single person that walks this planet, I love them to death. But...
Good. I will tell you, you and I are maybe brothers and don't know it, because it sounds so familiar. The thing I miss is the people. Because every day I'm at the chamber, and I took so much for granted that way, because I'm in my element, you know. And it sounds like you were in that exactly the same.
I was, and now since I've retired, George, I've always woke up happy every day of my life.
Yeah, you seen.
I don't know why, but every day I wake up, I'm happy until somebody comes around and tries to put the horn in me some way or another.
You hadn't lost it yet, brother. I'll tell you, you got to hang on. But it's retirement is it's wonderful, but it's not as easy. I told you I wasn't going to talk, but I'll tell you one quick story. When I was in Clarksville, I had an attorney for our industrial board. His wife was a renowned artist. And when he told her he was retiring, she said, "That's fine, but you're going to leave this house every morning before 9. And I don't want to see you again to 5. Because she was an artist, had a home studio, and it was her lifestyle. And I actually thought, I retired, and I actually thought that I was going to run the house too. Wrong. That was my wife's domain.
You got that right.
If you learn that, I hope you learn that, Barty.
Don't
overstep that. That's her domain.
Anybody with a little wisdom knows that.
And guess what?
Yes, dear friend.
So what happens when your wife has her domain, but you don't have your domain anymore?
Well, I got blessed there, too.
Well, we're blessed, no question.
I got a little side room she lets me have.
There you go.
House.
I have my little room.
But I think as far as retirement goes, I think every day, if you didn't wake up happy, go look for a lost sheep.
And serve.
and serve. Do something.
The world is just that is a good time. We're going to segue in the next section and talk about not only today but the future. So what do you see as a child of God in Cookeville, Putnam County, Tennessee? And where do you think, you know, we've had that conversation off air. Nothing's new under the sun, but we're going to come back and just – I'm George Hallford with David Storm. I'm having more fun than a barrel of monkeys. So we'll be back soon. Welcome back, George Hallford with David Storm. We're having some great conversations. Now we're going to look in the crystal ball. We're going to finish the present day. We don't ever finish the present day, but – And ask David, look into the future, and for him personally, his family, our community in Cookeville, what are our great opportunities and what are our challenges? And you can talk about the state and the country and the world if you want to, David. But let's just look in that crystal ball and let's talk a little bit. Let you talk.
Okay, well, you know, I always tell my caveman story. There was one big strong sucker that was in charge of that cave.
Yeah,
and he was the leader.
Yep.
Then as time progressed, nothing's really changed from that, George.
No, it hasn't.
Really and truly nothing. Now, we did, after the caveman days, get this guy called Adam. Called Abraham.
That's right. Father Abraham.
Father Abraham. And a lot of people don't know it, and a lot of people do know it, but the Jewish religion has about 600 rules they have to abide
by. That's right, the law.
Yeah, it's a law.
The Torah.
So I look at that, and I look at God looking down on the earth going, man, that's a lot of stuff for these guys to remember. So he sent Moses.
That's right.
And then Moses went up top of that hill and brought back these
Ten Commandments.
Just these 10 rules.
That's right.
Just 10. Maybe these people can get these 10 rules. A couple thousand years go by, whatever. And then came Jesus.
Here comes the Messiah.
Here comes the Messiah. And what did he have, George? Did he have a big old book? No. He had like one or two rules. Love God with all. You say it,
no,
George.
No, you got it. No, I'm talking.
Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor.
Amen. Amen. The rest will take care of itself.
That's exactly right. Living is so dang simple, but people make it so dang complicated.
And you know, Father Abraham, going back, most things, there's a history there.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Bible. In other places that, it was the Islamics group. Father Abraham was their father, too. Remember, during with Ishmael. And so a lot of these things have been going on for a long time, for instance, that aspect. And it's nothing – the Bible, there's nothing new under the sun, and we will get through this and move on. We'll move on. We will move on and do what we're supposed to do.
One way or the other, he's in control.
He's in control.
It's people always telling me when the end of the world's coming. I remember when I was a little bitty kid and my dad was storing up rice and dried beans, the end of the world was coming.
You may not remember this. We had fallout shelters and the Cuban Missile Crisis, and we're all thinking we're going to, you know, the nuclear, I mean, we live in a dangerous world. We've always lived in a dangerous world.
That's exactly
world.
Right.
Change, so.
I'd rather be dodging bombs than dodging dinosaurs.
That's right. That's right. So what do you, how do you see Cookeville, Putnam County, the Highlands, the Upper Cumberland, our economy, Tennessee? We're in pretty good shape considering the world, right? I mean, the country. Talk about how you see things.
How I see, I think that the population of the planet is getting way up there, and I think that we need to really start being responsible and do what it says in that book,
yeah.
And that's be stewards, and not just stewards of the planet and everything they gave us, but having some solid rules for ourselves.
That's right.
You know, we got to take care of each other.
You know, we do a pretty good job in Tennessee and in the Upper Cumberland of being good stewards. Our waterfalls, our hiking, our outdoors. That is economic development. It is business. We have people, you know, thousands of people come here every year, enjoy. But we've got to be better stewards. That's what you're saying. That's what Adam and Eve did. They were put in charge of the Garden of Eden.
That's exactly right.
And but we're moving in the right direction that way, and we got it. But it gets more complicated when you have fast, rapid growth.
Yes, it really does. But the one thing I have noticed by listening to the little news I do listen to is that the word God is mentioned more and more and more.
Yes, there's a revival.
Yep.
There's a revival going on.
So there's hope, and I mean, that's what he is all about anyway, is hope and faith.
But so, you know, what a great time to be serving.
Yes.
Is that, you might want to, you know, what you're doing every day, you counsel people, you run into people. It's amazing when you are available, how you can be used.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got blessed with a sweet wife. And if you're talking about service, that woman is the service master of my family.
Man.
She has a mother to look after, sisters, brothers, grandchildren. She's really the backbone of my life, is my sweet wife.
You know, that's what the Upper Cumberland is still. And there's other places, don't get me wrong, but there aren't many left like where we live, my friend.
Oh, no. And the
people care here.
Yes, they do. And I think they care everywhere. I've traveled every state in this country I've been to, Canada, Mexico, overseas. But I'll tell you what, country people, and you know, this was kind of a country town when I first moved here.
Oh,
I
love it, yeah.
But and I just won't say country people. There's beautiful people in big cities and everywhere else. But this little area here, if you live in Putnam County or in a rural area like this in Tennessee, you're blessed.
You are, and because you're close to what we call urban towns like Nashville, Knoxville,
right.
Chattanooga, Memphis. So we're close. We can do all that stuff, and then we can come home, let them pay for it, and deal with it, right?
Yep. George, I'll tell you a quick little story.
Yeah,
When I first moved here, I rented a house on Washington. And the first week we were here, my wife was backing out of the driveway, and this little old man in a green pickup truck smashed into her. And there was no big damage, everybody was safe, everybody was good, and the cops came there. And this man was homeless and lived in a church.
Wow.
He lived in one of the churches, and when the policeman got there, he explained it to me, and you know, he said, you know, stuff like this happens, let's let him go, and I agreed with him.
I knew
I was in the right place then.
Oh yeah,
that caliber of people that say, hey, that we care about each other more than we care about stuff that's written down,
and we still do.
Oh yes, sir.
I mean, we're and these new people who have moved in, that we're seeing them in our weekly men's group, aren't we, David? California, Michigan, Ohio, and they're great people.
They sure are.
They're family people, oriented. They share our values.
Just that proves my point right there.
Am I right? We're not. I know people say, "Oh, all these foreigners moving in." No, they're our kind of foreigners. They're not foreigners. But you know, you might talk about it. Some of the people you have met that have moved in here, and you know, you become friends with these folks, and we're very fortunate.
Yes, we are. We are.
Dave, we're not quite out of time, but what else do you see in your
future?
And you know the old joke about if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. But what are you looking at?
Well, you got that right.
I know. Usually,
that's why I'm so happy every morning. I'm just happy to be here.
Amen, buddy. That's a hard lesson for a lot of us to learn.
I just wish everybody could try to look at the good. Everybody knows the difference between helping somebody up that fell on the ground or sitting there laughing at them and spitting on them. Everybody knows that. That's just a natural thing. I wish everybody would choose to pick that little person up off the ground, give them a hand up. I want to just keep preaching that anywhere and any way I can.
Right. That's right. You know, as you were talking, my mother, God rest her soul, she says there's a mission field right outside your door. I mean, there's people in need all around us. If you'll just stop and listen, which is hard for me to do, But we've got opportunities to serve here, and we've got an environment that is very positive. And I'm just proud to be here, love to be here, and I know you are. So
yes, I am, George. I just wish that just half of the people, if just one person, take one other person in their life and give them a hand up, whatever that may be, a large job or a small job, but just every day look for that, like I say, look for that lost sheep, somebody you can help. I think that's what will change the world. And I know that at least half the world is good. I know more than half the world is good.
No question.
And we watch all this crazy stuff on the news, but I've been to places. The people are sweet.
They are.
Some
they
of the
are.
Kindest people
they are.
I've met out of this country, too. They're everywhere. So even in our enemy countries, there's beautiful people.
They are.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know what you said? As a retiree, I found myself paying a lot more attention to the news and stuff. And what? Don't do that. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but you know, it'll poison your brain because there are so many good things happening in the world, but all we hear every day is the bad stuff.
Yep.
And the whole world is not that way, and we've got some positive. What was it? Alex Haley, Lamar's in, find the good and praise it.
Amen, baby.
And that's just life, and that's where we've got to go. We've got about a minute left. Let's anything else you want to say or talk about, or we're moving on along. So,
nope, I'm just super proud to be in this community. Made a lot of friends here, a lot of great people here, a great place to raise a family. And like you said, we got all these big towns around us. You want to do something different, go over to Knoxville, Chattanooga.
That's right.
Nashville.
That's right.
But Cookeville is where my heart is. It's my home.
Yeah, and we both share this. We're here for a reason. It's providential. And I'm glad you're here, my friend. One of my new best friends. George Hofford, David Storm. Have a good day, folks.